This morning, as we remember and give thanks for our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, we've included some teaching notes there on the trifold of your bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together based on the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the first two verses. And today we celebrate their lives because they have finished the race. And we know that the race they have already completed, the race of following Jesus in this world, is not a short jog in the park. It's a marathon. Following Jesus involves running in often difficult conditions. Oh, there is some amazing scenery along the way. We can find no greater love, no more complete joy, no deeper peace than we find in this race. But there are long, painful stretches too, with many trials and temptations. We celebrate this morning because those whose names are read have triumphed. They were spouses and parents and grandparents, leaders in the church and leaders in the community. So many, many lives have been blessed because of the way those we remember today have run the race of faith. And as we remember their lives, we remember that the Christian faith is not as concerned with how you start as with how you finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. When I say those words, it's not how you start, I would invite you to respond by saying it's how you finish. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
You know, Abraham started out as a liar, but he ended up the father of the faithful. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
Sarah started as childless, but she ended up the only senior citizen in the maternity ward. It's not how you start, it's Moses started as a baby in a basket and fled Egypt as a criminal, but he ended up leading the Hebrews out of slavery because it's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
Rahab started as a prostitute, but she ended up in the family tree of Jesus the Messiah. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
Peter started as a cussing fisherman, but he ended up as the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ was built. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
Paul started as a violent persecutor of the church, but he ended up as the apostle to the Gentiles. It's not how you start, it's the history of God's people is not a story about how good, respectable, religious people do great things. It's a story about how God uses unlikely characters to accomplish God's plans. It's not how you start, it's
how you.
Now, those of us with a few gray hairs know the importance of finishing well. We do the math and we realize that there are more days behind us than there are ahead of us. And we want to grow closer to Jesus every day because it's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
But this message is for those that are younger too. Because none of us knows when we will reach that finish line. It's not how you start, it's the early Christian writing known as the Letter to the Hebrews is really a sermon to a church in a time of crisis. The pastor who preached this sermon remembers a time when this congregation was cheerful, generous, and caring. But now members of this church are being ostracized by their neighbors. Some are being imprisoned and even martyred. Many have dropped out and fallen away. They started well, but the preacher who preached this letter to the Hebrews isn't sure they will finish. And in faith we know it's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
Now maybe you can relate to those who first heard this sermon. You may not be facing the same hardship, but you face some obstacles of your own. This past February, just a few days before his wife died, Peter Story, a faithful Methodist pastor from South Africa that our daughter Rachel got to know when she was there, preached a sermon entitled Sunday After Elizabeth's Death. He knew and loved the congregation that had invited him to preach, and so even in his grief, he kept the engagement of preaching on the Sunday after his wife had died. And his sermon was filled with brutal honesty. And in it, he shared some of the questions that he'd been wrestling with in the days since Elizabeth's death. Is there a school where people can study how to live by themselves after 54 years of being together? He asked. Can someone tell me what those pills were that Elizabeth used to hand me every morning? How do I cope with reaching out and finding that she's no longer there? Some of you have wrestled with some heartache like Peter was wrestling with. Maybe some of you are wrestling with that even today. You may be facing some trials of your own and you wonder if you can stay on the race that you're on. Well, the writer to the Hebrews provides some helpful guidance to us. He gives us four pieces of advice for finishing well. And the first is this. We should remember who is around us. Remember who is around us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 begins, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The word therefore is like a hinge whenever we see it in Scripture. It calls us to look back at where we have been and calls us to look forward to where we are going. Looking back, we find that great Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter in the Bible, and we hear this great roll call of heroes and heroines of the faith. After hearing their names, we look ahead and we focus on those of us who are running the race today. Now, the setting in which we run is not an auditorium. It's not an arena. As we run the race, we are surrounded by this great invisible cloud, this very real sea of the faces of those who have gone before us. Now, it's important to emphasize that those who surround us are not just spectators, but witnesses. And there is a great difference between a spectator and a witness. A spectator is someone who sits on the sidelines and watches you go through something. But a witness is someone who has been down on the field where you are. They have run the race you are on. They have met the challenges of living the disciplined life in this world. They have made the sacrifices required of those whose first love is Jesus. And the preacher in Hebrews declares that we can finish the race. We can hold on if we remember who is around us and cheering us on. The witnesses named in Hebrews 11 are in the crowd, as are many others who have gone before us in Christ. Every year at our annual conference sessions, we have a memorial service where we remember the pastors and pastors' spouses and lay members of conference who have finished the race in the prior year. I attended my first memorial service at annual conference in 1980. And at that service, the names of those who had died the previous year were read. And at that time, I didn't know a single person. I had this wonderful sense that I was part of this great movement, and yet I didn't know anyone whose name had been read. I have to say that as the years have rolled quickly by, and I attend this service now, each year at annual conference, I hear more and more names of people that I have known and loved and served alongside of. Now, as we gather here to remember those who've gone before us at First Church, perhaps this is true for you. Today we remember people who have blessed us as individuals and a congregation. In a few moments, we'll read their names and light a candle in their memory. But let me just say a word about each one as we're gathered here with this great cloud of witnesses this morning. Today, we remember Donna Colward, who showed her children and grandchildren the love of Jesus. Today, we remember the Reverend Donald Kayampa, who blessed hundreds and hundreds of people in this community with his warmth and his caring and his preaching as he led this congregation for 18 years. Today we remember James Parfit, who used his gifts as a high school business teacher to support the financial ministries of this church for many, many years. We remember June Henschke, who devoted herself to her husband Bill and their family, even though Bill's job required that they move frequently. She provided a stable home. Today we remember Bill Etter, who was faithful to God and his family and his country, serving in the Second World War and then continuing on in the reserves, retiring as a colonel. Today we remember Reverend Elizabeth Fribbins, a United Methodist pastor from New York who moved here in her retirement and was instrumental in our Center for Spiritual Formation in the conference and was a friend, a teacher, and spiritual director to many. We remember Mae Myers, a resident of Bethany Village and a valued part of this church family as well. We remember Lois Moreland, a registered nurse who was involved in the health and wellness ministry of the church, including giving flu shots every year. We remember Reverend Shirley Russell, who grew up in this church, was an enthusiastic and loving Sunday school teacher and leader, and then heard the call to ordain ministry and serve churches in our annual conference. We remember Ruth Reed, a member of the Geyer Sunday School class, who was very active in our church and had a strong commitment to Christ and to her family. And we remember Jane Carpenter, a pastor's spouse who lovingly supported her husband, Reverend George Carpenter, and found great joy in serving Christ in New York and then in retirement here in Mechanicsburg. We remember all of those whom we've named, and we remember many, many others too. I wonder, as you look at that cloud of witnesses this morning, that sea of faces that surrounds us even now, who do you see? And how did they impact your life? Friends, as you run the race, do not lose heart. Remember who is around us. The saints are still cheering us on. And they remind us that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But with even all the applause of heaven, the preacher of Hebrews knows that the race is still hard for us. And so a second word of advice is given. He says we must not only remember who is around us, but we must also remove what is on us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. You know, runners do not compete wearing heavy winter coats or carrying weights on their backs and in their shoes. They wear clothing made of special lightweight material and shoes that weigh only ounces. One might render the phrase here in this part of verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles us. The word entangles more clearly depicts what happens to us when we harbor attitudes or engage in behaviors that wrap around our feet and make it difficult for us to maintain our stride for Jesus. Jesus is well aware that we can get tangled up in hurtful things that cause us to lose our stride in the race. In Luke chapter 6, he shows us the way of untanglement. Listen. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Now just imagine, if all of us who claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord would take Jesus at His word. Reading His words just 2 days before the election that David referred to earlier, I'm struck by the stark contrast between the way of Jesus' unconditional love and the vitriolic tone that we hear during a campaign season. I wonder, what does it look like for you, for me, to love, to do good, to bless, to pray, to give, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Not long ago, I was surprised to find that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, actually had some instructions for the early Methodists about voting. Actually, I shouldn't be surprised because John Wesley had instructions about everything. But I think his words that were given in 1774 still give us some food for thought today. Look at this. I met those of our society who had votes in the ensuing election and advised them, 1, to vote without fee or reward for the person they judged most worthy. 2, to speak no evil of the person they voted against. Wow. And 3, to take care their spirits were not sharpened against those that voted on the other side. Now, I don't know what baggage you might be carrying today. Maybe you've harbored some attitudes or engaged in some behaviors that have been weighing you down and tangling you up. But my prayer is that even here, even today, all of us can lay aside whatever we need to so that we can regain our stride as those who witness to the way of love in this world. Because it's not how you start, it's and as we move on, the pastor now adds a third word of instruction. We are called to rely on what is in us. 1 continues with this. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Some other translations render the word for perseverance as patient endurance. You know, some people endure things, but they grumble and complain every step of the way. That is not patient endurance. Patient endurance is following God's call even when you face adversity. It's being fervent in prayer even when there seems to be no answer. It's loving people, even when they disappoint you. It's serving and giving faithfully, even when that might require some sacrifice. Dr. Alice McKenzie, who teaches preaching at Perkins School of Theology and is a daughter of our annual conference here, describes a conversation between a daughter and her elderly mother. The mother, in her early 90s, is still active in visiting the sick, preparing communion elements, and tutoring children at a local elementary school. "Mother," the daughter said, "don't you think at your age you could back off from these activities and enjoy a lighter schedule? I mean, you've earned it after all these years," she said, "and I'm afraid you're tiring yourself out." Her mother drew herself up to her full 5 feet tall and answered, "When I decided to follow Jesus, I did not promise to follow him part of the way. I promised to serve him all the way. And that is what I intend to do." I wonder what this daughter might have said. What could she say? Obviously, this 90-plus-year-old saint had spent a lifetime with Jesus, and her spiritual well ran deep. This saint reminds me of some other instructions that John Wesley gave that perhaps you are familiar with, and I'm going to ask that we could read these together in unison and make them our own. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as ever you can. We do not get the spiritual wherewithal to serve as long as ever we can unless, like the mother, we draw regularly from the streams of living water that are available to us in Jesus Christ. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
So we remember who is around us, and we remove what is on us, and we rely on what is in us. And after checking off these items in verse 1, the preacher has one final word of advice. An entire verse is devoted to this one, the one most important thing that we all need to finish well the race that is set before us. He tells us to realize who is before us. I appreciate the way Eugene Peterson translates Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking to Jesus, who both began and finished the race we are in. Jesus has gone before us. In spite of the horrific pain of the cross, the preacher tells us, Jesus kept his eyes on the prize. And he now stands at the finish line, cheering us on. You know, a good track coach will teach their athletes, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, and by all means, certainly don't look behind you. To keep your momentum and your stride, they will say, fix your eyes on the finish line. And there, at the finish line, Jesus is waiting for us. Just as he welcomed all of those whose lives we celebrate today. And I wonder, how are you in your living from day to day, keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is waiting there at the finish line for you? Those we remember this morning have finished the race. Triumphantly, they have crossed over and fallen into the arms of Jesus. And as we remember their witness today, let us also claim our own witness. Remember who is around you. Remove whatever is on you. Rely on what is within you. And above all, realize that it is the Lord Jesus who goes before you. You can and will finish the race you're on if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
It's not how you start, it's
how you finish.
May it be so. Amen.